She's the voice you've heard, but maybe didn't exactly know her name. Today, we're introducing you to her. Angela Prim is with us for the hour right now.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
I love getting to know these personalities and these voices. And you got to know, as a kid, I'm the kid with the albums sitting with my back to the loudspeaker, and I'm reading every corner, every copyright, every protected mark, every producer name and background singer. And I'm with royalty. I just got to say, when you talk about Angela Prim, or if we're really on the inside track, I guess we call you Angie Prim because we're that close. So I'm like, all right, this is cool. Angela Prim, welcome. I'm excited to tell your story.
Oh, thank you so much for allowing me to tell a story. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than the Lord has just opened doors beyond my imagination. And I'm excited to be walking through them at this point in my life. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for reaching out to me.
No problem at all. Listen, as by way of introduction, anybody who listens to what I do and the way I like to start, I just like to get back just to ground zero, square one, in the beginning was a baby type stuff. But let me, before we go there, let's mix it up a little bit and just do some more introductory kind of things. Like, I know for certain you were a background vocalist on some of the Happy Goodman's projects, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So So you're thinking, all right, this fabulous family group in Southern gospel music, all right, but then you got to continue on through different names like Andre Crouch, like I see here Gretchen Wilson, I see Aretha Franklin, Barbara Mandrell. So I guess in a nutshell, when you're on an elevator with somebody and they say, nice day, great weather, what do you do? And you have to answer that question in like a 2-minute type answer. What do you tell people? I mean, what's your list of credits? What are you known for?
Well, I'm known for being a background vocalist. If they ask, what do? I tell them I am a background vocalist by profession. Mm-hmm. And I never know when I'm called to sing a song on whoever may have an album. Because, see, what happens is I do a lot of country music. But with country music, you know, there is such a common thread with gospel music. So when you have a country artist that wants a little bit of the gospel feel, and they call me a soul sister on music roll, we want some of that soul sister stuff in there. Uh-huh. And that's when I get the call.
Gotcha.
That's when I get the call. And being a Christian, yeah, my reputation is it has to be lyrically correct.
Mm.
So if it's not lyrically correct, they don't call me. I've had to walk out on a few sessions to establish that, to say I can't sing that. But yes, that's my profession.
You're not singing no junk, Angie. Is that right?
Oh, no. Can't do it.
But you know what? That may be an easy answer to give people. Background singer, cool. Tell me about some of your sessions, stuff like that. But really, we've got to say you're much more than that, because I know people who know Angie, and I know Angie. And first of all, you're so dynamic, and you're so, what I'm looking for here is the word maybe communicative, where, I mean, you know how to communicate to people. And I think that may be a misnomer. They're like, well, wait a minute. How did you learn to communicate if you're singing a backup? Because isn't the communicator for the soloist or for the out front person? But I'm telling you, when you take a microphone, which you're doing now more and more, and you're on stage, you drive it home.
Well, the message is important. I'm nervous, you know, to hear you, because you, even when Bill asked me, you know, Angie, you know, what have you considered singing solo? Yeah. And I'm such a supporter. You know, I'm like, well, you know, yeah, but there's no one else that you would want me to do background for. I But when I get a chance to proclaim the Lord and display his glory, I won't take the back seat. It's like, okay, this is an opportunity. And old school, you know, when I grew up around old school singers, Albertina Walker, Shirley Caesar, you know, and they say, you know, you have the one chance. I'm not looking for the stardom, no, but I have the one chance to declare the awesomeness of God. And I've learned how to do that through my eye language, my hand language, my vocal language, my body language. And Daniel, I want to give it every opportunity so that if the Lord was to crack the sky at that instant, he can say, I was doing my best.
Wow. And by the way, you mentioned Bill. We should note that is Bill Gaither, and you have seen her on a lot of Gaither projects, not just recently, but I would say in the past good handful of years, you've been a part of those.
Come on, y'all help me. Have a little church, will you? This is for you, Mommy. Come on.
Said I won't tell nobody, but I
I'm
Angie Prim is with us, by the way, and you can get more information about her music. You can read more of her story and find out where she's going, what she's doing. AngelaPrim.com. And okay, so that'd be a good place to kind of put this bookmark, because that is, we're talking kind of current modern day stuff. Let's go back now. And I'm not asking you to give us your age or even the decade, but let's just go back to in the beginning was a baby. All right. Angie Prim, where were you born? What kind of family did you grow up in?
Well, my mother was born 1918. Mm-hmm. And when she became, she got really, really sick. And my father was born 1917, Daniel. Hmm. And she got really sick and went to the hospital, and they told her that she had a growth and that it was cancerous. Hmm. So they gave her her first chemo treatment, and they, you know, told her to, now this was back in the 60s, this is 1960. And she went back and to kind of see how that treatment worked, you know, and the development of it. Did it shrink? Did it grow? And the doctor was sitting there telling her, Miss Hewlett, we are so sorry, but it didn't help. The treatment didn't help. Your growth has gotten larger. And about that time, my mom said that a young little doctor came in and said, I need to speak with you, doctor. And he was like, well, right now I'm in consultation. And he said, no, I need to speak to you about this consultation. He said, he came back. He said, Miss Hewlett, did you have any idea you were pregnant? And my mother said, she told them, no, I was depending on you to tell me what was going on. I know I couldn't keep anything on my stomach. And I thought that it was maybe, you know, I wasn't feeling good, and I had anticipated being sick with the treatment. Mm-hmm. And they says, well, no, you have your permission, since it is our mistake, you know, to abort this baby, because it will either be an invalid or extremely, extremely retarded, and we would not recommend you having the baby. Hmm. Well, my mother, being the Christian, and said, you know, I don't believe in abortion. I don't, but, you know, I don't want to bring something in the world that, you know, that's in pain. So she was struggling with the decision and had a dream that night. When she went home, they gave her, you know, a few days to consider it. And she had a dream. And she said, and in this dream, she was sitting on her front porch, and it was this huge, like 5 foot, she said, 5 foot tall white bird cage. And inside this bird cage, she said, this little fat yellow bird was just singing so loud and just talking so loud. She said, I couldn't hear myself talk on the porch. I was trying to talk on the phone, and I had to tell him, I got to get this bird out of here. It's just singing. So she told my sister about the dream, who at the time was on the road with James Brown. She was a background vocalist for James Brown.
Wow.
And my mother said, Joan said, Mommy, I think whatever it is you're pregnant with is going to sing. Mm. And my mother said, well, no, it's impossible, because they said that, you know, the baby's going to be sickly. It's not going to be able to walk, let alone sing or talk, or let alone sing.
Right.
And she said, Mommy, just, I believe that you had that dream. So I asked my mom, I said, Mom, why in the world did the yellow bird have to be fat? I mean, it could have been a skinny yellow bird.
That's funny. That's funny.
So here I am, just
wow,
as loud as can be, singing. And, you know, I was born a sickly child. I had asthma. And my mother, you know, just prayed and prayed. And I grew out of that. I have not had any illnesses. I know that my health, I know that my life belongs to the Lord. I owe him my life. And I'm telling you, Daniel, every opportunity I get, I'm trying to show my gratitude in him allowing me to live and minister the gospel. And my mother was a singer, and she demanded, while kids were out playing kickball and football and hopscotch, and I love playing with children, but I love little boys. And my mother, she caught that early on. So she made me busy in sewing and ceramics and always at a rehearsal somewhere, because we had a group. She had a group that was called Mothers and Daughters Group. Mothers and Daughters Group. And I was a part of that since I can remember. So I was born into singing, and we would go all over Indiana as a group and singing. And it went from there. It went from there.
Wow.
Where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I talk to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. I know that he's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. And I go to the stone.
Daniel Britton Friends with Angela Prim. So happy to have her and to get to know her better. And of course, her music. I mean, once you hear it, you're hooked. Were you born in Indiana? Did I hear that?
Yes. Indianapolis.
Really?
Absolutely. Yes.
Great.
I married a military personnel that moved me out of Indianapolis. And that's how I became so close to Nashville at Fort Campbell.
All right, so here's a question. If someone says, all right, with all the session work that you've done, is there one or two songs where we would know your voice because, as sometimes will happen, a background vocalist will have a lick or will have a line in a song that is just right up there, I mean, almost doing just a powerful duet, even if it's just for just a moment in the song. Do you have a signature line? Do you have someone say, well, that's my signature line? If you want to talk about the record that went the highest on the charts or sold the most copies, that's my voice, even if it's only for 10 seconds right there, dueling it out.
Oh, my goodness. No, I don't. I tell you, Daniel, some people, you know, it's so funny. I'm so funny with names. I got a call to do CMA award show, and I have what they call my partner in crime. Her name is Gail Mays, and we're always hired to do something. And she called, this lady called and said, I need you to do, you know, the thing that you did in the studio, you know, with the artist. Well, I mean, I do this just about every day. I don't know names. I just don't keep up with it. And I could say it has to do with my age, but I've just never been infatuated with the names. Now, you talk about Jerusalem, then you're pushing a button, but names, I just don't, you know.
Right.
So I said, I called Gail. I said, Gail, they wanted to do some something to CMA Awards. And she says, for who? I said, well, I'm not sure who. I said, they said something, Duty and Burp. She said, Angie, that's a purse. That's not an artist. I said, I don't know. Just show up. So when we get there.
That's funny.
When we get there and I freelance and the show is getting ready, they said, oh, we want to introduce you. Okay, this is who you will be doing background vocals for. It was Brooks and Dunn.
That's hilarious.
And she tells them, I call them a purse. And I was like, sorry.
Wow. Yeah, you can't make this kind of stuff up.
You can't. You know, and we were doing, I don't know if it was an inauguration, but it was something to do with Oprah was there. And let's see, Clinton, who was that? I think President Clinton. It was, but I was right in the middle of the Left Behind series I was reading.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted me to go to this party with all these people. And I was like, no, Chloe is just about to, I want to go to my room and finish this part of the book, you know? And they were like, you have this opportunity. I'm like, people are people, and I love them, but I don't worship them. You know, so I can be kind of off balance with that, and I'm asking the Lord to help me because we need people, but I just don't get into names like that.
Yeah,
I don't understand, but I
know. Oh, I love. There's a name that's dear to me, lifted me from misery, brought me out of sin and shame. How I love that precious name.
Divine,
is
mine.
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh.
Angie Prim is with us, by the way, and you can get more information about her music. You can read more of her story and find out where she's going, what she's doing. AngelaPrim.com, P-R-I-M-M.com. Now, obviously, I mean, small world sometimes in gospel music, but there's a guy by the name of Gary Prim who's a fantastic piano guy. You guys ever get confused being in the same family or book different?
Yes. Yes, yes. They used to think we were, do you have a brother? And then when I show up and they see that I'm African-American, he's white. So then they say, oh, is he your husband? And I'm like, no. But I love me some Gary. Ooh, yeah. He's a sweet guy. Oh, I love him. But his name is spelled with one M, and mine, I have two M's.
I got you. Okay. Okay, so there you go. Angela Prim with two M's.com online. Yes. So what's the most surprising thing for somebody who just likes music but they're not into the industry? As doing session work, and we've had Reggie and Lady Love on here on the show. We've talked to them about their time doing that in the studio. But what would be the most surprising thing that we wouldn't imagine you do or have to do, or the conditions you work in, or just, you know, just a good story that we would be surprised at?
There are so many.
Because it's glamorous, remember, right? It's really glamorous, I hear.
No, it's not. No, Daniel, it's not. It's called get you a cup of coffee and get in there and do what you need to do and get out.
Right.
But I didn't know who. The most surprising was, I showed up, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but I'm just being transparent here. Mm-hmm. And I showed up at a session, and there was this older guy that was sitting there, and he was like, I like me some black sound here. I want to get this on this. It's one of my latest songs. And I'm like, okay, man, you know, mm-hmm. Well, I'm here. Let's get it together, you know. And then when I got ready to leave, he handed me a picture. Well, you know, I'm not one that, you know, does a lot of fanfare. And, you mm-hmm. know, I'm like, okay, well, good. Thank you so much. You know, mm-hmm. Well, I remember thinking, you know, this is another sheet of paper I'm going to have to keep up with. And I had picked up my little niece and we had cleaned the car out. And she had happened to, you know, throw the picture away. So when I got home, my husband said, well, baby, what did you do today? I said, I had an interesting session today. I said, the older man who was really kind of full of himself, made me just a little uncomfortable, but I mean, it's all in a day's work. He said, well, who was it? I said, John, I don't know. I said something. His name was Wagner. I think Porter Wagner. He said, who? I think he said his name was Porter Wagner. He comes giving me a picture. I said, and I didn't even ask for it. I mean, he signed it and everything. He said, where's the picture? I said, God, I think we threw it away. He said, are you kidding me? I said, well, who is it? You don't know who Porter Wagner is? I said, no. He said, girl, go get that picture.
That's funny.
So the next day, we were in sessions with him for 2 days. And the next day, I said, Mr. Wagner, my husband wants a personalized autograph picture of you. I couldn't tell him the first one he gave me was gone. I said, he wants one. And he did.
That's hilarious.
but Daniel, there was one session that we did, and we got in there, and it was a little dim, you know? Mm-hmm. And they said, we need you to come. It's only a couple of songs, and it's just oohs and ahs. And this artist is from Europe, and it's going to take you maybe 20 minutes because it's just oohs and ahs. I was like, oh, okay, fine. We get in there, and the studio, we noticed, was a little dark. So we're like, is anybody here? And we walk through, and there was this artist that was sitting in the far corner, like, and he was just sitting there. He couldn't make out a face or anything. He was just sitting there. So I said, I didn't see any coffee. I said, let's go, because coffee warms up the vocal cord for me, and it works. You know, it works for me. So the producer came, he said, I want to introduce you to the artist you're going to be singing for. And the guy walks up very, you know, very still, stiff, you know. And I'm like, bubbly, I love people. And I'm like, hey, you know, how are you? He says, I'm fine. So Gail is a little, you know, she's got a dry sense of humor, and it's so funny and hilarious. He said, well, you're kind of a little stiff. She said, my name is Gail. This is Andrew. We're going to be doing your vocal. He said, that's good. And Gail said, oh, okay. I like a man with few words. And the producer said, well, we're going to go ahead and get started. I said, but I'm looking at this guy because now the hair on my arm is kind of raising a little bit. And I'm like, he's a little eerie. I said, tell me your story. I said, where are you from? He says, well, I want you to understand I'm a vampire.
Oh.
Daniel? Gail said, sweetheart, did anybody tell you black folks don't do scary movies?
Oh, my word. Wow. Yeah.
So we were, and the songs were about family, about love. It was nothing demonic. It was just his presence. That's who he thought he was.
Wow.
So he was like, I want this one to be just a little darker. He said, can I turn the lights down a little more? And Gail and I both said at the same time, no.
My goodness. Well, interesting, huh? I mean, that would be the word of the day.
Yeah.
Never dull. So, wow.
We ran into some things. It's interesting. I've had to walk off a set with Wayne Newton because of the lyrics not being correct. Mm-hmm. So my antennas are always up for things that are good and things that I'm not to be involved with. But I've been doing this since 1987. And it has proven to be successful for me. Absolutely. Absolutely.
God walks the dark hills, the ways, the byways, and he walks through the billows of life's troubled sea.
show me the way. My God walks the dark hills to show me the way.
So you're in Indianapolis as a kid growing up, and I mean, were you influenced? Obviously, you have, there's a connection there in the music industry, but did you grow up in church singing? Did you grow up going to concerts or being a fan of music and having a poster on your wall or an album collection?
Oh my goodness, it's church. I grew up singing church music. I had a little record player, portable record player. I don't know how old you are, mm-hmm. but I am 52. Mm-hmm. And this was a little portable record player. And I remember like it was yesterday. I was laying in my twin size bed, and I would have it on a like a little TV tray next to my bed, and the records would be playing all night. You know, I would get up and take the needle and put it back to start. I loved music. It fed me, you know, all night long. I would listen and listen and listen. And my mother was very traditional, and there were some things, because she really thought that some of Andre Crouch's stuff was way too worldly. Mm-hmm. She was like, That's not coming in the house. You know, if you can't hear the lyrics, the song won't be sung. It's not about, and I'd be like, man. So I remember sneaking to hear the different runs that were going on that would take a hymn out of the box. I'm like, you know, uh-huh. that's so old fogey to me. I want it to be exciting, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes, every day I would be listening to gospel music.
As pilgrims here, we sometimes journey. Oh, yes, we do. We often know not which way to turn, but there is one. He was Solomon,
oh, yes.
Rose of Sharon,
oh, yes.
Oh, surely,
surely,
yeah, surely,
surely,
I know, surely,
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 surely.
He's able,
he's able
to carry
you through.
Ooh, yes, he is. One night he shook.
He's able.
He's able.
He's able.
mother.
Oh, yes.
For the motherland.
Oh, yes.
He's a father.
Oh, yes.
For the fatherland.
Oh, yes.
He's a joy.
Oh, yes.
In times of sorrow.
Oh, yes.
He's your hope.
Oh, yes.
For tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
When you come down.
Oh, yes.
To the Jordan.
Oh, yes.
He'll be there. To carry your burden.
Oh, yes.
In the judgment.
Oh, yes.
You've got to know him.
Oh, yes.
Oh, surely.
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 My mother taught me surely.
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 Oh, surely.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends with Angela Prim. So happy to have her and to get to know her better. And of course, her music. I mean, once you hear it, you're hooked. Where did career, where did work, I guess, start for you, you know, moving through teenage years and into that young adult period where you start saying, OK, what am I going to do with my life? Was it, were you in music from day one, or did you start, did you do some normal stuff for a while until you found a break, I guess?
I was busy. I've always been busy in the church. I love the local church. And I married at 18 to a wonderful childhood sweetheart. I married at 18. He was 24, and he was military. So it was. It became my purpose not to sing, but to help wherever we were stationed. And it would always end up some kind of way. We want Sister Wright to render us a song before benediction. And I would be like, man, can I just come, you know, to a service, you know? And then the military people in Germany, it wasn't about denominations. It was about Americans coming together and worshiping God. And whenever we would do that, I would want the creative, you know, let's do a monologue. I've always loved the arts. I think the creative side of God is not celebrated enough. You know, you'll learn that I love the arts.
Yeah.
I love the arts. So, I would get in there and I would, you know, they needed me to sing a song, fine. Well, I moved to Fort Campbell in 1985 from Germany, and I was a part of the move in Germany when we would get together and have functions.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Angie was always somewhere doing something. Well, when I moved to Fort Campbell, I was busy in my church, and I would sew all the choir robes. I would get in there. And it wasn't a singer I was looking to be. I just knew that that's what I did, if need be. But it just seemed like there was always a need for somebody to sing. If Pastor was going somewhere, Sister Angie, would you go and sing? And I would be like, well, sure. So I didn't see that in my, I didn't see none of this in my future. Mm-hmm. I just loved being busy in the church. And my husband, I found out, was engaged to another woman. And she was pregnant, and I discovered then that my life wasn't what I thought it was. And right around that time, I was with this group that wasn't a group, it was a choir. It was called People Helping People, a community choir. And this gentleman that was playing the organ for the organization asked if I would be interested in doing a soprano part in a television show, a gospel television show.
Hmm.
And this was Bobby Jones Gospel.
Hmm.
And I was like, well, sure, I need employment. So I was going, commuting back and forth to Nashville from Fort Campbell, which is about a 40-minute drive. And on one of these, and I was hired, you know.
Right.
The first professional session I did was a soulful Handel's Messiah that was produced by Mervyn Warren of Take Six. And he said, Angie, I love your voice. I want to do more session work. So when I found out that my life was changing and that I needed to do something full time because I wasn't going to have the support of the military because my husband was going left and I thought we were turning right and he turned left and I was like, oh, I got to turn right, but I'm alone. So I started looking for, because I was in the industry then with a television show, I began to look for ways to support myself, and music was the avenue that was made available to me.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I was able to forgive my ex-husband, which we are friends now. I love him to pieces because he's not my husband, and I don't have to go through that. But I love him as a human being, and we're friends, and we, you know, we talk. And ironic enough, the child just reached out to me 2 weeks ago looking for his father. Is that not crazy?
Wow.
That God will use you to reconnect, and I'm so grateful. Through that, I was able to go from singing on a television show. They took the television show on the road. People would be like, okay, I want that soulful sound on my Southern Gospel record. Okay, I'm available. I can do. And from that, I met Barbara Mandrell. And when I tell you, she was the most gracious. I have the most fond memories of the way she took care of people. And I remember saying, Lord, if there's ever a time for you to meet me to be out front and be responsible for people's lives, I want her example to be my life. She would take care of her people. And I saw it firsthand. So I went from there, and I get calls to say, okay, I need your sound on my record. I need your sound. And so, you know, it's the Black Gospel. One producer was so funny, and he meant no harm. But at the end of the record, he said, okay, now I need on this pass, I want you to give us some of those slave tones.
Hmm.
And we were like, okay, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, some of the stuff that they did were, oh, I am so sorry, but not every Black person is accustomed to slavery.
Right, you know? Right, yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know what you're looking for, but this is what we have, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's here and there. It's such a wide variety of opportunities I've been afforded to have, and I just thank God that it's the favor of God that has placed me on people's hearts to say, I want you to come and sing on my record. And that has been the tool that has taken me from 1987 to 2014.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. It's so encouraging to hear your story, because I know people are listening and they're like, you know, they see the hand of God in their own story, much like you've shared. And some are at that point where they're just trusting because they can't trace the hand. And so, you know, you got both camps that are like, I'm waiting for God to just make it plain as day what his will is. But until then, I just step forward in faith. So, I mean, it's a good story, and I'm so glad you've taken time to share it with us, Angie.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. If you found doing the will of God, this is what I found. If you take care of his business, he will take care of yours.
Yeah.
He will.
Angela Prim is here, and by the way, her website is angelaprim.com. That's P-R-I-M-M, two M's, angelaprim.com online. And we've got wonderful music with Angie today. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I grow.
just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Oh, some folks may doubt.
My guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends, conversation really just getting cranked up. We'll place a bookmark here. Come back next time for part two with Angela Prim.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.